You are about to enjoy a presentation recorded at the 2023 Michigan Conference Camp Meeting held at Cedar Lake, Michigan. We pray that the Lord will bless you as you listen.
Dear Father in Heaven, thank you so much for what you have given us, to give us so much light and so much knowledge to be able to take care of our human frame, but not so much that we will be overwhelmed and confused. And we pray that it will be abundantly clear this week how we can do that better for our own health and for those that we're ministering to. We pray this in your precious and holy name. Amen. All right. So let's start off with one of my favorite quotes about natural remedies. What does Ellen White say are natural remedies? She says, there are many ways of practicing the healing art, but there is only one way that heaven approves. God's remedies are the simple agencies of nature that will not tax or debilitate the system through their powerful properties. Pure air, all right, we have our first remedy. Cleanliness, a proper diet, purity of life, and a firm trust in God are remedies for the want of which thousands are dying. What's the number one cause of death in America or the world? Heart disease, right? She actually says that these remedies, people are dying. That these are the what we call the underlying causes of death that are behind the heart disease, behind the COPD, diabetes, and so on. Yet these remedies are going out of date because their skillful use requires work. Wait, we were just talking about faith in God, right? Now we're talking about work, okay? Requires work that the people do not appreciate. Glad you all are here to appreciate it. Here's some other natural remedies. Fresh air, exercise, pure water, clean, sweet premises are within the reach of all. Is healthcare expensive? It is exploding, particularly in the U.S. It is crazy. That's why I'm doing a completely different business model for medicine. But this says it's within the reach of all, with but little expense. But drugs are expensive, both in the outlay of means and the effect produced on the system. So these are the natural remedies that we want to really build our foundation off of. We always want to know the herbs and the supplements and all of these types of things, which are great. And we're going to talk about some of those. But these are actually the foundational natural remedies that we need to become wise in how to use, because they actually work. You will hear testimonies throughout the week of how these have actually worked. And there's thousands of testimonies, but sometimes it's nice to see them live and in person and hear it directly. So today we're covering metabolic disease. Hopefully most of you got the User's Guide to Natural Remedies that is talking about metabolic diseases. These are the other ones that we'll be talking about this week, which you can find in the seminar handout. There's a second handout that hopefully most of you got that is called Biblical Approach to Natural Remedies. Biblical Approach to Natural Remedies. You will want to bring this one every single day because we will be referencing it. There is a small study group, VC3 study group, that we comprehensively study Spirit of Prophecy and the Bible on kind of the most controversial subjects that are dividing gospel and medical evangelism, and really pray and study how the pioneers studied to be able to figure out, like, what practically can we do to unite gospel and medical evangelism. So these 12 questions came out of that study conference where we comprehensively looked at everything that Ellen White wrote on drugs and how do we decide when not to use drugs, natural remedies, and so on. So there are 12 questions. You just turn to page 2, and there's the rest of the 12 questions. We will be going through the first 5 questions today. You won't want to miss the other days, so you can be able to decide for yourself whether or not a natural remedy or a drug or a treatment is something that would be the right direction for you. So that is that. Questions, like I said, put them up here on the table. All right, we are here to serve and learn, both, right? We just started talking about faith and work, so we're not just gonna let you sit in this class, take notes, but also sign up for actually practicing what you're learning. And it's right here. We actually just, I'll show you some pictures here in a second. We just finished our first morning clinic. It was a blessing. It was a ton of fun. I would recommend, if you want to get good at hot foot baths, for example, I would sign up for 5 slots. It takes 4 or 5 slots. It takes about 3, 4, 5 times before you really feel like, yes, I can do this on my own. I feel like I could confidently know when to offer this to my neighbor, when not to offer it to my neighbor, when to call my friendly doctor and be like, should I do this, should I not? Because, you know, it's one thing to do it on yourself or a family member. It's a whole nother thing to do it on a neighbor who's never experienced this, who you really want to witness to, but you don't want to do a bad job. Because that would be very bad. All right, so how many are from Grand Rapids area? Grand Rapids, awesome. So Dr. Kelly, Pastor Daryl, make sure that they know that you're here, and make sure you're signing up for slots, because you want to put that on your application when you help out with their immersion programs, because they want to use this for part of your certification. All right, so you can sign up for other services, which are listed here. I want to highlight the second one, the Lifestyle Physician Group Visit with Dr. John Kelly. Which is meeting upstairs at 10:45 and 2:15 each day. You can bring your questions there. So if we cannot address all of your questions, particularly about lifestyle medicine, so that is a place where you can take those questions at 10:45 and 2:15 every day. They're small groups, so it's very nice. All right, here's the team. That's a huge team. A big thank you to each one of them. You will be hearing from them and seeing pictures of them throughout the week. A big shout out to Donna Hall and Julie Klein for organizing the Natural Remedies Clinic and the lab. So here's some pictures from this morning. So we have this culinary medicine with Dr. Debbie and Patty Weston. Can you guys wave your hands wherever you are there in the back? And Dr. Debbie is probably getting ready for tomorrow. So there they are cooking. They did breakfast, and there they are getting ready to eat. Yummy, yummy. there's Susan doing chest fomentation. Susan Palladino, I don't know if you're still here. Oh, she's back there, but still finishing up some of the chest fomentation stuff. Awesome. Yay, Susan! So awesome to have her here. She actually used to work in the Battle Creek hydrotherapy massage there. So a big thank you to her. There's Debbie Keller in action. I don't know where you are, Debbie. Maybe she is also busy. And there is Francia doing the joint fomentations. You'll see more pictures. This could be you guys. Just a couple of comments from this morning. Francia, she was taking care of someone who couldn't move her knee. She was very stiff. The joint fomentations this morning, she's like, whoa, I can move my knee now. Like, it's so much looser and I don't have pain. We noticed that the pain from particular different conditions, come on Wednesday to find out, goes away for about, you know, 1 or 2 days after a joint fomentation done correctly. So come sign up for that and learn how you can do that. People from the hot foot bath were like, this is so relaxing. And like, oh, you know, they're telling their family member, one person was telling their family, are you watching this? We need to do this at home. So come and watch it so you can do it at home, and not just come and watch it, but come and do it with us. All right, so let's open up our Bibles as we open up our biggest textbook for natural remedies. And you would never expect this story to be brought up in regards to natural remedies and medical missionary work, but I think you will see it very much relates to the purpose of natural remedies. So 2 Kings 6, so the Syrian army were mortal enemies of Israel, and they were again about to attack Israel. And so Elisha does something, a very interesting battle technique that I really haven't seen elsewhere. So verses 20 through 23. So it says, when they had come to Samaria, that was the Syrian army, that Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see." And the Lord opened their eyes and they saw, and there they were inside Samaria. Whoa, inside, you know, the enemy, and inside the Syrians, you know, the Syrians were now captured by Elisha. Now when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, "My father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them?" But he answered, "You shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword and your bow? Set food and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master." Have you ever done a cooking school for that kind of crowd? That's a high-stake cooking school, if you ask me. Probably without the steak, because you know the Israelites were given health laws that they actually lived longer than those around them. I don't think we'll have time to get into the Egyptian studies and Israel and all of that type of stuff, but it's very fascinating. Even today, we see Adventists have about a 7 to 10 year advantage because of our holistic lifestyle, not just what we eat. It has to do with Sabbath rest. It has to do, you know, this, lots of different things. So here we see Elisha doing a cooking school for his enemies and then letting them go home. That is profound. It is incredibly profound that he actually cooked for them and let them go home. And what does it say in verse 23? It says, "So the bands of Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel." That's a pretty effective cooking school, if you ask me, right? It was such a powerful, the kindness that Elisha showed was such a powerful example to the Syrian army that they came no more. What does the Bible say? "Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing, you will heap coals of fire upon his head." Now that is a good use of natural remedies. That is extremely evangelistic to actually help those out that hate you. So the next time you hear that someone in church that you had an argument with at board meeting, next time you hear that they're sick, you've done hydrotherapy, like, "Hey, very happy to help you out. Can I buy you groceries while you're sick? You know, do you want me to come over and help?" Right? Like, what would that do? That would heap coals of kindness upon their head. That is a good use of natural remedies. Now, let's also look at, this is an excellent quote, because natural remedies actually illustrates the gospel. This is the purpose of natural remedies. So you can see the quote there on your handout, just under how does using natural remedies illustrate the gospel. It says, "The Lord will give you success in this work, for the gospel is the power of God unto salvation." When? Not when we preach a sermon, but when it is interwoven with the practical life, when it is lived and practiced. The union of Christ-like work. So the union, not just Christ-like work for the body and Christ-like work for the soul, but the union of that is the true interpretation of the gospel. How many false interpretations of the gospel are we giving? Amen. In our own lives, when we're not taking care of both body and soul, but also when we minister to others, to care about their physical needs and their spiritual needs, the union of that. I think Elisha is a very interesting example because it also has a non-example. What do we notice from the king in verse 21? There are ways that we can misapply natural remedies. You notice the king said, they're inside my city. And so he said to Elisha, "Should I kill them? I need your advice. You're like a father to me. Should I kill them?" He asked them twice. I think he's kind of hinting, right? How many times do we do that with God? Like, "Oh God, I have two options. Like, here's this one. What do you think of this one?" right? And then we're like, not so much the other one. It's hard to be kind, right? It's hard to go out of our way when we feel like we don't have time for others, but they need us and God is calling us to help them. It's hard sometimes. And so ignoring other people's needs when God has called us specifically to help them and spend a moment with them, pray with them, help rake their leaves, whatever they need, we can misapply not the use of natural remedies in that case. What are some other ways that we can misapply the purpose of natural remedies? What thoughts from you guys? What are some other ways that you've seen natural remedies misused or that you can think of things being misused? Yeah.
Using coffee too often, you get addicted to it instead of it being
okay.
Forever.
Using stimulating things like coffee and getting addicted in our own bodies, for sure, very, very much so, and that clouds our own minds and our own frontal lobe in connection with God, yeah.
Using it to make money.
Using natural remedies to make money, excellent, yes. To our own advantage, anything that would be to our own advantage.
Not treating cancer or something.
Just ignoring it. Not treating cancer is the example that, yeah, God definitely calls us to take care of, not just ignore things. This is a beautiful quote. Because we are health reformers, we are not to make a raid upon people's habits and practices. This is striking too directly at the gods they worship. Is sometimes coffee a god for people? Anything we put before God, donuts, anything. So instead, we are to offer them something better. Not to make a raid upon their habits, but to offer them something better, that we may give people a practical demonstration of the principles we advocate. That means So practical demonstration means not necessarily preaching a sermon, but kindly educating them. That means cooking in their home, raking their leaves, buying groceries for them, whatever they need. So how many times have we made health reform, actually health deform, by how we have advocated for it? So it's definitely many different ways that we can do that. All right, so what is a natural remedy? So we are going to go through the first set of questions and then dive into the metabolic diseases in our last half. So the first question here, it's on the second page of your handout for User's Guide to Natural Remedies, second page. Today we're gonna be talking about the faith test for natural remedies. The faith test for natural remedies. So the first question that ask yourself when you're thinking, should I drink coffee, like, or should I treat my cancer, or should I, whatever your question is, does it help keep the physical and moral laws of God? Does it help keep the physical and moral laws of God? I will not read all the quotes, but I'll read this one. True religion and the laws of health go hand in hand. It is impossible to work for the salvation of men and women without presenting to them the need of breaking away from sinful gratifications, which destroy the health, debase the soul, and prevent divine truth from impressing the mind. How many times are we sitting at evangelistic season like, oh, how can we get people here? How can we get people here? But we and they are preventing divine truth from entering, impressing the mind by what they're eating. And we can be out there helping to educate them kindly, gently, to be able to open up their minds to the truth. This is the right arm of the gospel. And for ourselves, are we wondering what to do in a particular case? And our minds might be able to be opened up if we would be taking care of our own bodies. So second question, does it inspire faith in God as presented in the three angels' messages? Okay, you came to a natural remedies seminar. Why on earth are we talking about faith and the three angels' messages? It's actually very, very related. So did it take faith for Naaman to dunk in the river?
Yes.
Oh, by all means. Like, what is a dirty river going to do for my leprosy? None of the medical textbooks talk about this, right? But does it take faith to resist a donut?
Yes.
By all means, it takes a lot of faith to walk by the candy dish at work or to get up and exercise. Some of you are coming to the exercise class this morning. It takes faith to do something when you don't see results right away. That's what faith is. You walk when you are stiff and painful in the morning, you know, if you have arthritis or something, but you walk anyway because you know it's going to make a difference. That is faith. And so you ask yourself, does this develop faith? So all of the natural remedies we have mentioned so far definitely develop faith. And they, so third question, does it work toward true healing in preserving both life and health? Both life and health. It's a very fascinating concept in Spirit of Prophecy, where she talks both about life and health. They're actually slightly different. So we need to preserve life, right? Because can you have faith if you're dead?
No.
Well, no. Not exactly. So sometimes it actually is important to judiciously and carefully take medications to preserve your life so that you have time to develop faith in God, or a contact that you're working with has time to understand how to cook healthfully. Do you know how difficult it is to change how you eat and to learn how to cook differently? It's very difficult. It takes time to develop that faith. So sometimes you need to take medications in order to preserve life. There's certainly other situations that you might consider. I don't know how many stories like pop into my head right now where people have stopped on their diabetes medications or stopped their depression medications and have they've had a stroke because they stopped all of their medications. Or they've gotten hospitalized with diabetes ketoacidosis from stopping all their diabetes medication. That is not the, you know, that's the time to preserve life. And you can make health changes while you're on those medications, and particularly if you're working with a physician, you can come carefully off those medications. There are a number of immersion programs or Renovate Health programs, different types of health programs around Michigan if you're in such a situation. And you can even sign up for services right here at Camp Meeting. All right, so the next question, does it employ both hands and brain? I was just blown away when I learned this in Spirit of Prophecy, that that when we're working with natural remedies and we're working, we need to think about how does it employ both my mind and what I'm thinking, that's my faith, my willpower, my frontal lobe, but also my hands. Hydrotherapy, you know, sometimes it's not the most comfortable when you're sweating, but you choose to do it. It takes a little bit of work. It takes a lot of, you know, hands-on, right? But it works with your body, and it employs both hand and brain. Choosing to eat differently, going to walk, all those employ both hands and brain. And there's a number of powerful quotes right there. The last question, which is kind of implied by a lot of the other questions, says, does it employ and empower the will? So a medication doesn't, you just have to take it. It doesn't necessarily empower your will, so it's not the most ideal treatment. You might have to do that to preserve life, but you want to empower your will. You want to be stronger because of it and through it. So let me just read this last quote. It's on the third page up at the top. It starts with natural means. It's highlighted there and in bold. It says, natural means used in accordance with God's will bring about supernatural results. So it's like water, just like putting your feet in hot water. Is that very natural means, right? Seems like, will that even help with anything? How do I get rid of this? Okay. But it will bring about supernatural results. I know there are many here, sitting right here, that have either done hydrotherapy in people's homes for themselves, that have seen literally supernatural results from that when it's done in faith. So the second sentence, we ask for a miracle and the Lord directs the mind to some simple remedy, with some knowledge there. We ask to be kept from the pestilence that walketh in darkness, that is stalking with such power through the world. We are then to cooperate with God, observing the laws of health and life. There's that principle of health and life again. Having done all that we possibly can, we are to keep asking in faith for health and strength. We are to eat that food which will preserve the health of the body. God gives us no encouragement that he will do for us what we can do for ourselves. Natural laws are to be obeyed. We are not to fail of doing our part. God says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his pleasure. Powerful quote. Natural means used in accordance with God's will bring about supernatural results. We want to learn about some of those natural means throughout this week and figure out what natural means fulfill this faith criteria, because anything that is not faith is sin. So we want to make sure that the natural remedies that we are using, we're not just popping a pill or popping a supplement while we're keeping to eating whatever is unhealthy, go to McDonald's and pop your supplements. Like, that is not a natural remedy. That is helping you to continue habits that are causing disease in your life. So the basis of true natural remedies, I think we're going to skip this quote for the lack of time here. These are natural remedies that passes Ellen White's test. Now she endorses all of these. Proper posture and voice culture, we should all be sitting up straighter now, is actually listed as the first thing that our students in our schools should be taught in physiology. The second is voice culture. We will actually be going through some of these tomorrow when we talk about respiratory illnesses, particularly the voice culture and fresh air, as well as more hydrotherapy tomorrow. These are not natural remedies, so diseased imagination, incorrect posture, breathing shallowly, all of negative thinking, all of these things Ellen White specifically lists as things that are disease causing, at the cause of disease. And we will be going through some of these. We will not get through all of them this week, but incredibly powerful. All right, if I can invite Francia up. So people, what we're learning here with the faith test is it's both faith and works together. And God can bless that. Just like in our religious life, it is faith and works, so it is with our physical life. And we have to make a choice, empower our will. Now, Francia has an incredible story all of her own, but since we're talking about metabolic disease today, I have asked her to, and come right up, because you'll need the mic as well. I've asked her to share a story of someone that she worked very, very closely with during our last Renovate Health program. Incredibly powerful. And obviously, she's given us permission to share her story. She certainly would share her story if she were here. She's down in Lansing. But what did she come to Renovate with?
Well, the first time she came, she was, to start off, she was very depressed. She had high blood pressure, diabetic, and
dialysis.
Okay, she's asking me to speak up. She was very depressed, and that day that I called, doctor had asked, have you spoken to Maria? And I said, oh wow, you know what, I was thinking about her, because the year before we had asked. Mm-hmm. And she's like, what, are you going to use me as a guinea pig or something? And I said, of course not. I'm telling you because I'm seeing what I'm getting. So she said, you know what? No. This year we called her back, and she was like, the day I called her back, she was very depressed. And that day when I called, she's like, oh, you're calling me. Every time I feel this way, you call me. She said, today, I said, is there really God? Did you forget about me? I want to go to sleep and I don't want to get up again. And I said, that's why I'm calling you, because God sent me. Yeah. And she was like, and I said, and I don't want you to see the doctor or myself. This is God answering your prayer. Mm-hmm. She started Renovate. A week in Renovate, first pill comes up. She came in. She's like, I have a headache. I feel dizzy. I'm like, doctor, she has a headache. She feels dizzy. Doctor said, okay, let's take a blood pressure. She's like, okay, we need to take one pill away. She's like, doctor, I've been taking this for 14 years. Doctor's like, yes, we need to take one off. She's like, wow, I am amazed. The doctor took one pill off. The following week, she comes in, half a pill off, and one of the diabetic pill, that the second week off. So right now she's like, wow, I'm only taking one medication for my blood pressure, and I'm only taking the other one for my blood sugar. The following week, it was like every week something would happen. Oh, and she used to go in a wheelchair for dialysis. After that week, Nathan had told her, start with 15 minutes. And she came back, she's like, Nathan, I feel too good. I'm doing 30 minutes. Nathan said, that's awesome. So keep doing it just like that. After that, she came back and doctor said, we're taking off your blood pressure medication. No longer will you have to take it. She's like, doctor, I've been taking these pills for 14 years. Doctor's like, yes, it's okay. You're off. You could take them off. She had lost a total of 23 or 24 pounds. 23 or 24 pounds off high blood pressure, off diabetic. She's walking into dialysis. She's walking 45 minutes a day. And people with dialysis, I've learned that with the doctor, do not go to the bathroom to pee. She's actually peeing.
Wow.
So yesterday when I called her and I said, doctor wants us to share your testimony, she's like, it is a pleasure. Please tell them. Mm-hmm. Make the change while they can. Mm-hmm. Not to wait for a last minute what happened with me. Mm-hmm. So God is doing amazing job in her life.
Amen.
So I am grateful to share her testimony.
Amen. And God's testimony. Thank you so much for Francia, who drove her every single day to Renovate, and a whole Spanish group that surrounded her with love and bought her groceries for her during Renovate, and really helped make all these changes so that she no longer has high blood pressure and diabetes anymore. She's free, and her depression and the hope. I don't know how long it was, Francia. It was, I don't know, I think it was maybe a week or two into the program that her face just, it just lightened up. And I don't know exactly how. And no more, okay, she's saying no more depression. Praise the Lord. And I don't know how it happened, and this is often the case. She started Bible studies with our assistant pastor, who's Hispanic. It was probably halfway through the program, I don't exactly remember. I don't even know how she got connected. I think it was some spiritual conversation we had in the clinic or something, but she initiated that. She wanted Bible study. We often find that in these cases where you're just helping people with their health, and guess what? It opens up their frontal lobe because we're empowering their will. They're making their choices with their physical health, and the spiritual health choices just follow right on along. It's not like you're twisting their arm for a Bible study. They're asking for Bible studies. They're showing up at church. They're texting you and saying, when is your church service? I'm not just saying that. That like happens on a very regular basis. About day 4 or 5 into a program of when people are radically changing their diet is like lights start popping on. It's very beautiful, very exciting to see. So that's a picture of her there, Maria, in one of our culinary medicine sessions there with Francia. All right, so with the last time that we have left, let's see what time we're at. We are at 4:15. Wow. All right. So we're going to talk about the metabolic diseases. How do we apply what we just learned to metabolic diseases specifically? Obesity, heart disease, high cholesterol, diabetes type 2, blood pressure, and we're not covering fatty liver or strokes, but those also could be considered metabolic diseases. Metabolic diseases meaning
inflammation at the root of these particular things, oxidative stress. So metabolic syndrome is kind of the silent precursor to a lot of these, where you have just slightly off numbers. And so how does three ways to address these things just generally? Obviously, we're not getting into specifics. Please go to Dr. John Kelly's class for specifics. What we eat, how much we eat, and when we eat. Huge amounts of research on each of these. You will lose weight if you, even if you focus on one of these. You will lose a ton of weight if you focus on all of them, like Maria did, losing over 20 pounds in the 8 weeks. So it's actually all right here in this one quote in your handout there. Many eat hurriedly of various kinds of food, which set up a war in the stomach and thus confuse the brain. The use of unhealthful food, there we go, number one, what we eat, and number two, overeating of even that which is wholesome. Watch out, potlucks, right? Yes. We need to be careful even of wholesome food. Number three, many eat at all hours, regardless of the laws of health, midnight and all kinds of different things, whatever meets the fancy. What happens as a result? Then a gloom covers the mind. How can men be honored with divine enlightenment when they are so reckless in their habits, so inattentive to the light which God has given in regard to these things? Brethren, is it not time for you to be converted on these points of selfish indulgence? Wow. When we sit at the table, we need to pray that God will give us the strength to overcome. So three, all these arguments about all these different types of diets and which one is the best, and well, honestly, any diet that is going to start to eliminate the use of unhealthful food, overeating of even that which is wholesome, and not eating at crazy hours, eating at regular hours, is going to move you in the right direction. Let's get a little more specific. So this is, I brought some fat. This is 5 pounds. We hide this in ourselves in different places. You can see on the screen some of the places that we find that the most dangerous fat is actually around our organs. Because what are our organs doing? They're helping us live and function, right? So if we have excess fat around that, it's going to cause inflammation and it's going to be like blocks in the highway. How many have like traffic jams if they're from the bigger cities, or even if you're from a farming community, the tractors are our traffic jams. And so that's what happens in our body when we have this excess fat. Any three of those things, when we're eating at irregular hours, when we're eating excess, even that which is healthy, and when we're eating unhealthful foods, it creates this excess fat in different places. And also creates metabolic disease. That's another picture of that. It's very complicated. It causes a lot of oxidative stress. I just put that up there just to say it's complicated. So quick story in science as we close. 1990s, they had an interesting association. So we have to be careful with this. So they noticed that France there, that's the dot at the bottom, actually had a lot lower mortality from heart disease. So people died less in France of heart disease during this time, whereas Finland is the dot there up on the top. Lots of death from heart disease, very fascinating. They also looked at their diet at the same time. So they looked at calories from vegetable foods. Guess which country had more calories from vegetable foods, France or Finland? France, yeah, excellent class. And guess which had more calories from animal foods? You nailed it. That's when a lot of research started coming out about the connection between dietary cholesterol, saturated fat, and heart disease. So we're going to focus a little bit on fat in regards to metabolic diseases and actually replacing those saturated fats with healthy fats. But when these first studies came out, this was just an association, and obviously has the statistics here, and is like, yes, it seems correlated and is statistically significant and all this fancy stuff. But can you say just because something is associated that it actually causes or does not cause heart disease? No. Like, does it, you know, just because, you know, there's, at the same time that there's a supply chain shortage of whatever, that the, you know, people are, you know, that there are more car accidents. Can we associate and say that there's some association between those two things? I don't know, we could draw a graph and pretend that there's an association, but we actually have to look at it much more deeply. That's why we have to be very careful and look through the lens of the Bible and spirit of prophecy. Obviously, those in the scientific field are going to look at more, you know, randomized controlled trials and all this statistical stuff that we're not going to go over in this class. But you guys have an advantage of having the Bible and spirit of prophecy to say, okay, this study is saying that there's an association between saturated fat, dietary cholesterol, and heart disease. This is way back in, you know, this is back in the 1990s, or even earlier, there was earlier research saying, oh, maybe we should go associations that maybe, you know, plant foods might be better, but, you know, to go vegan at that point was just crazy. But could you, even back then, have looked at the Bible and spirit of prophecy and said, yes, it's right, I could go plant-based for my heart disease, or no, I shouldn't? Yes, you totally could have, because let's jump to this and ask, is this research, is this association in line with the Bible? It says, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree which fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. That's vegetable foods. That's what the association said, was a lower association with heart disease. So you could have safely followed that research, even though it was very early research. And so let's take a look at heart disease quickly. It's oxidized cholesterol, LDL in particular. L for lousy, that's not the real acronym for it, but that's how you can think of it. So that actually is primarily found in animal foods. Anything that has a liver, including you, including the cow, including a mouse, whatever, makes cholesterol, anything with a liver. So if you are eating this cholesterol, and it's now swimming around in your bloodstream, it wreaks a little bit of havoc. You can also have to package up saturated fats, and all fats actually, and you have to carry them throughout the bloodstream. That's where we get carriers like LDL. You can get oxidized free fatty acids. So as these oxidized things, so they don't initially start out as oxidized, but the problem comes when these fats become oxidized. That means that they are chemically changed. They can do that with heat. You know, if you're heating your oils and cooking with a lot of oils, that oxidizes those things. If you're eating a lot of animal foods that have been exposed to air, that oxidizes the fat. Because honestly, what is the highest cholesterol food? It's actually human breast milk. So why not all our babies dying of heart disease? Because the cholesterol never touches the air. It's never oxidized. And so, you know, we need to stop eating oxidized fats. And then we have nothing to stick to our walls. You see the fatty acids, as they become oxidized, it forms a lipid pool. The immune system tries to fix it, the macrophages and foam cells and so on. And then it develops a plaque known as heart disease, and that can block your arteries. So we are going to skip through some of this. Eggs are very high in cholesterol. This is 12 days on a high-fat diet. You can look at the blood vessels. And in 1 month, you can see the plaques already developing on a high-fat diet. These are some of the highest. I don't think I put this particular chart in your handout. But trans fat, this is a study from Harvard that's very interesting. The trans fat is the red line up there. That's more your deep fried foods, the French fries, and those types of things. As the trans fat becomes higher percentage of your caloric intake, your mortality goes up with this, how fast that line is going up. Very steep. And then saturated fat is not quite as steep, But saturated fat would come from animal products, but also your butter and cheeses also are high in saturated fat, so that's contributing to heart disease. So you replace those fats with the things below the line there, so your monounsaturated fats, your polyunsaturated fats, so those are your nuts, your seeds, avocados, olives, things like that. All right, so there is a picture in your handout that helps you look at what is healthy fats and what are unhealthy fats there. All right, so is heart disease reversible?
Yes.
Huge. Also diabetes, as you learned. So this is the studies from Caldwell-Esselstyn, where you can see how the after 32 weeks on a plant-based diet, did we say that thousands are dying for want of a proper diet? Didn't Ellen White say that? Look at what happened there. The artery opened up in 32 weeks. This person would have been dead. But because they applied a natural remedy, their blood vessel now opened up. You can see some of the other studies there. This is how to lower cholesterol with fiber. So this one in your handout? I might have to print it for tomorrow. Yes, it is. Awesome. Thank you. So we are on natural remedies for cholesterol. I love to understand why, so I apologize for you guys who don't like details. But this looks at natural remedies for cholesterol, some of them, and tells you where they're working. So like the soybeans and the nuts and seeds, and there's some supplements there as well that you can take a look at. There's a list of particularly helpful foods for cholesterol. So whole foods, plant-based, so avoiding animal products, replacing the unhealthy fats with healthy foods. But there's particularly high fiber foods that you want to focus on, and you can read that list in the handout. So that is where it's talking about whole grains. Diabetes is very similar, except it works differently. So we want to replace those unhealthy fats with healthy fats to reduce and get rid of that excess fat around our organs and reduce the insulin resistance. Come to Nathan's exercise class to learn how that insulin resistance can actually even be reversed with exercise after a meal. A postprandial walk can actually replace insulin. I had a lady who was on 100 units of insulin each meal. And I had to start giving her insulin after her meal because her sugar was still in the 300s. And I was worried I'd have to send her to the hospital. And so I said, hey, are you willing to walk after your meal? She's already on insulin after her meals as well. And so as she walked, the more we took the insulin off. And she actually replaced walking instead of her insulin because of how it actually puts a GLUT4 transporter in the cell wall. All right, so let's wrap this up here with 1 minute. Woo. All right, so let's summarize. We did the faith test for natural remedies today. We are going to look at the other tests we need to put to decide if a natural remedy is appropriate or not tomorrow, as well as Wednesday and Thursday. But let's summarize here. Should I stop my medications? I really want to be like Maria and stop some of my medications. You need to consider health and life, both of them. To summarize it simply, is when you're critically ill, you need to use things that will quickly save your life with the best interventions that we know. We will look at that later in the week, that we are expected to do the best we can with what we know, the best medical science that we know at this point in time. And then serious illness is also a time that we can't just stop our medications. We want to avoid danger and at the same time pray for better and work towards better health, right? Both life and health at the same time. Now, natural remedies can really shine as we try to reverse these serious illnesses and also the controlled diseases. You can work to reverse or improve some of those as well. And then obviously remission, or to keep yourself healthy, or whenever you find yourself as a respiratory illness, because we all find ourselves sick from time to time, you will want to come tomorrow to look at the respiratory illnesses and what you can do to boost your immune system to get better quicker and also not get sick as frequently. So that is a summary there. You know, Psalms 105:37 said, "None feeble among his tribes." Don't you think God wants the same for us as the Adventist tribe? That there be none feeble among us, even, you know, how many years after sin. So for evangelism, we can do the same thing for evangelism, even though we, you know, maybe lay people, we're just learning. We can, when we there's controlled diseases or no diseases, this is where our cooking schools, cooking with people in their homes, helping them with hydrotherapy, that's where it can really shine. And if you have a doctor or nurse in your church that can help you with that and where you have questions, that is even more fantastic. All right, what did you learn? Just 30 seconds, turn to the person next to you and say one thing that you learned during our last hour together. Thank you for sharing with what you learned. Now think, how are you going to apply this? How are you going to apply what you learned, either for yourself, your neighbor, or someone else around you? Let me end with this. Let's come back together here as we pray and as we end here. Psalms 103 and verse 5. This is a beautiful psalm about bless the Lord, O my soul. It says, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things to eat. Have we learned how if we satisfy our mouth with the good things that God has provided, the plant foods, we can reverse heart disease, diabetes, high blood pressure. And what does it say? So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. How many want us to have youth both physically and spiritually? Awesome. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for this wonderful group of people. May we go out from here to be your hands and feet, to practically illustrate the gospel to those around us, to be an example of it in both body and spirit. We pray this in your precious and holy name. Amen.
To listen to more of these presentations, you may visit the audio archives at MISDA.org/audio2023 or search for Michigan Conference Camp Meeting wherever you get your podcast.